And welcome into the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. Each week we look at family businesses from across the St. Louis region. They have quite a footprint in the area, and we like to highlight them. In fact, if you're a family business and would like your story told on this program, reach out to Dan Bean. The website, cmaconsult.com. This week we're joined by Dan Bean from CMA and also Thomas Wall from Mitchell Wall Architectural Design, who in this episode you'll hear talk about his father who started the business, his mom who took it over, and how now he is transitioning to lead it to the next generation. It's all in this week's episode of The Business of Family Business on KMOX. And Thomas Wall, I want to thank you for your time. Where did Mitchell Wall Architectural Design start?
Well, let's see. Dad was working for Jones and Mayer, which is an architect back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And he'd been working there a few years and working hard and, you know, really providing for them and doing well. And one day, the partners all invited him out to lunch. And my dad was certain they were going to make him a partner. And they took him out to lunch. Mm-hmm. And they sat him down and they said, Mitch, you know, you've done really great work for us. My dad said, yeah, thank you. He said, you've really been, you know, providing a lot and doing some excellent work and bringing in a lot of money. And we want to show you how much we appreciate it. My dad said, oh, great. You know,
there it comes. There it goes. Yeah.
And they said, we'd like to give you a ham.
Oh, no. The build up for that.
So my dad, you know, stood up from the table and said, thank you. I'd like to tender my resignation.
He right went there home. On the spot?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That was it. And, he knew it wasn't what he wanted to look for. You know, it was not his ideal to be working for ham. And he went home that afternoon, and my mom was waiting for him. And you know, she knew he had had this lunch. And so she was very excited, and she said, you know, Mitch, what happened? What happened? And he said, well, I quit.
Wow.
And
quite different than when he walked out the door to go to that meeting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my mom's parents were actually there at the time, and my grandfather said, well, worst case scenario, you can always come back and live with us. So, you know, it seems like
the in-laws never want to hear that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems like there is a good support structure at least, but, you know, that was when Dad, started Mitchell Wall and Associates was what it was called first. And, the first office was in Clayton by the old Library Limited. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I remember growing up and running around in those offices, and there's a whistle soda machine in the garage.
Did you grow up in the Clayton area?
Yeah. Well, I was born, in Clayton. We lived on a Rundle place. Mm-hmm. You know, back then when my parents bought their house, it was $77,000, mm-hmm. which is far cry from what a house goes for in Clayton these days. Mm-hmm. But it was a different neighborhood back then. Grew up there, you know, ran around the streets of Clayton and had just really some amazing memories of being in that area.
So where was the location where your dad started his business? What was the area?
It was in downtown Clayton.
It was right in downtown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I was too young to really remember exact street locations, but I remember landmarks, and they're all defunct now, like Library Limited or the Branding Iron, mm-hmm. or you know, various restaurants that we used to go to for lunch when I was in the office with him.
Were you alive at that point?
Was I alive
when he started the business? Were you born?
He started the business 2 years before I was born.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you came into he was already. Established the business at that point.
Yes. When I came into this world, he was working on his own.
Right. You know, did you grow up into that too? Did your dad involve you, like coming into the office and doing things in there?
Well, in so much that I would go in with my dad if he had to work on the weekends. Uh-huh. And, you know, back then, an architecture office had a lot of materials in it that aren't there these days because of technology. And so there was invariably just large amounts of cardboard sitting around the office. And for, you know, a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old, cardboard, X-Acto knives, and tape are pretty much all you'll ever need to entertain yourself. And so even my friends would come with me to my dad's office, and we would build armor out of cardboard and sword fights. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was a good time. So it wasn't as if my dad was trying to inundate me with architecture or even expose me or push me to it or anything like that. He was just kind of babysitting and happened to have a cool place for us to hang out.
When did you first get interest in it?
I mean, I think it's hard for anybody to grow up surrounded by something and not be a little bit curious about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ever present. It was talked about at the dinner table. So when did I first become interested in it? I guess it really started to peak when I was in high school and I took a drafting class. And I enjoyed that. And I did set design for you know, the theater in my school. And I think it held an interest for me at that point. And then when it became time to apply to colleges, I applied directly to architecture school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember at the time when I got accepted, my father pulled me aside at one point and said, you know, Tommy, I am really proud of you. He said, I never pushed you to architecture. I never tried to make you become an architect. He said, I am so flattered that you want to follow in my footsteps.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty profound. My dad was not the kind of guy who emoted a whole lot.
Mm. So that was a big moment.
It was. For him to tell me that he was flattered by something that I did was pretty incredible.
What about on the other side? What did your mom think about it? Was she just as proud, or was she someone that...
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think I could flip pancakes, and as long as I did it well, my mom would be proud.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, she's very supportive.
What was your mom's role in the business then?
So my mom, when my father started the business, my mom didn't originally work for him. Actually, I think she worked for KOMOX briefly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But she has always kind of handled the business end of things.
Mm-hmm.
Payroll, billing, you know, you know, in the 70s and 80s, doing those kind of thing was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have QuickBooks back then, and it wasn't so much just a push of a button. You had to really look at all your checks and make sure everything had cleared and compare notes. And so mom was occupied by doing that. There was a brief period where my dad fired my mom. And Yeah, I really don't know why she got fired, the exact reasons, but I just remember being pretty tense around the household.
No kidding.
But mom took that time, actually, and she wrote a book and was very near to getting it published. But it was an expose of the Bush family.
Really?
And one of our...
What was her relationship? Like, how did she have an in to the Bush family?
Conversations with people. I mean, it's St. Louis. You're never more than two people separated from anybody. But most of it was done through research and police records and things like that. She managed to uncover quite a bit. But then one of our relatives, who is a prominent attorney in town, said, you know, Carol, if you publish this book, it won't happen immediately. But sooner or later, Mitch's business is going to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
And you really just don't want to go down this path.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in my house, there's still a
unpublished
manuscript.
Wow.
And she had agent and everything. It was ready to go. And she just backed out of it.
Wow. I want to bring Dan Bean in from CMA Consulting, because there's one thing that Tom mentioned here just a second ago was when mom got fired. How difficult is it when you work with family members and then you make a change with family members? That has to be a very hard decision, a difficult thing to do. And
yeah, we've had several clients where family members have been fired, usually father fires son.
Mm-hmm.
And I get calls occasionally, Dad just fired me. Would you call Dad and see if he was serious?
Well, yeah.
And most of the time, Dad is not serious.
Mm.
It is a spike in emotions. Dad is very irritated and lashes out, and that's one way to try to get his point across very clearly, that I'm very dissatisfied and you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
But when they cool down, both parties cool down, they know that, hey, it's a family business. We both belong in the business, but we've got to control our tempers better than we did this morning or yesterday or whenever it was.
Yeah.
And occasionally, there is a good reason why a family business parts ways with a family member. It doesn't sound like this was a thoughtful, planned exit where Tom's mother left the business, although I don't know the specifics, and he hasn't given us much detail.
I wasn't given much detail either.
but she came back, so, and I don't know over what period of time, but she came back, and clearly that she belonged in the business because I think she came back and stayed there for quite a while.
Ever since. We continue with Tom Wall from Mitchell Wall Architectural Design. Learn more about his business, where it started, where it's going, and the HGTV effect. It's impossible not to look at that. Coming up next on KMOX. It's a number we talk about a lot. 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. That means when it's time for a family business owner to step down, most family businesses, they might identify and try to develop the next successor. But the hard part is trying to actively work to unify the next generation and to develop them to be effective owners so they can do it on their own. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting. The new thing they got, the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. The sessions are designed with critical topics to support effective business ownership and to unify the next generation. How do they do that? Three words: unify, develop, align. They bring in experts providing content on specific topics that will apply to you, your family, and your business. Unify them all together. And by the way, when was the last time the members in your family even discussed how to apply insights into the business? If you don't know the answer, don't wait any longer. Use the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. It begins in the first quarter of 2018. Go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for you and your family business. It's the website that all family businesses should know, cmaconsult.com. I don't see the point in waiting to let them help you with your family business. cmaconsult.com. More of the Business of Family Business coming up next on KMOX. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're joined with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting and also Tom Wall from Mitchell Wall Architectural Design. If you're a family business and you would like your story told on this program, it's simple. Reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. The website, cmaconsult.com. When your dad started the business, what kind of services did he offer and what kind of services now are you offering at the Wall Architectural Design?
Well, when Dad started the business, I like to think that we're kind of offering the same things we've always offered. Mm-hmm. We are custom residential architects primarily. We have our fair share of commercial work. We've done restaurants, you know, retrofitting of law firms, things like that. We're probably not going to be doing stadiums or hospitals in the near future, but I guess there's always that option. What Dad offered was a customized experience, much akin to going into a tailor and having a suit made. That's kind of how I like to think about our design process for homes. Mm-hmm. When you come in and ask us to design a home for you, we're not going to give you the same thing that we give everybody else. We're going to listen to you and we're going to talk to you and we're going to get to know you very well. Designing a home for somebody is an incredibly personal thing. I'm not designing this for me to live in. I'm designing this for you to live in and your family, and how you live is incredibly important. I think that's been probably the hallmark of Mitchell Wall Architecture and Design, you know, previously Mitchell Wall and Associates Architecture, for 42 years. Just that extreme attention to customer needs and satisfaction.
Has an HGTV world helped or hurt that?
Yes. I've actually I've been talking to HGTV recently.
Really?
Yeah, it's another issue. They're doing some series on outdoor living. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of outdoor living. But yeah, HGTV I think has hurt the industry in certain ways and helped it in others. HGTV has allowed people to see that, you know, renovation and things like this are possible. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of the times when you're watching an HGTV show or Bravo or any of the other shows where they're showing renovation specialists and things of this nature, you're not getting the whole story. You know, it's a half hour, an hour show. And at the end of it, they've got this beautifully finished out kitchen and they show the numbers and it costs them, you know, $15,000. And you just can't do that. I mean, what they're not telling you on the shows is that, you know, the people installing the cabinets are giving their labor for free so they can wear their T-shirts that have their company name on it. They're not talking about all the different freebies they're getting as a result of hiring these subcontractors. And so sometimes we'll have people call and say, I want to do my kitchen renovation. I want it to cost $35,000. And we have to say, well, you know, I'm sorry, that's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably not going to happen.
Wow.
So in that way, HGTV has kind of hurt the industry a little bit.
So the people that come to you kind of have an expectation.
Yeah, I would
roughly.
Hope so.
Yeah.
We're going to have probably differences in design aesthetic, if that's the case.
Sure.
But I think also the important thing to keep in mind is that we are not doing, the gross majority of our work is whole home renovation or new custom homes. When we're doing that kind of work, you're not seeing the kind of costs and prices that you're seeing on HGTV, you know?
So are we going to see you on HGTV? You mentioned that they reached out to you. Are they impressed with your work? Is that why they reached out?
Well, I mean, it's a long production process and all these things. And frankly, we've done a number of Skype interviews, my mom and I.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some technical difficulties with the interviews where they didn't record it properly and things like that. So then we recorded it ourselves. And frankly, at this point, it's just become a lot of trouble. And we're really, really busy. And so for mom and I to sit down and spend an hour re-interviewing for the third time, answering the same questions again, it's not holding too much attraction.
No, I get that.
But maybe I should. I mean, getting on HGTV couldn't possibly hurt business.
Not so. At all. People go crazy for that.
They do.
You'll be signing autographs if you get on HGTV everywhere you go. One thing you mentioned just real briefly, you do residential and you do a lot of just beautiful residential work. Let's say they came to you and said, we are looking for a new design for a soccer stadium. Would you take that on as a challenge, or would you look at that as maybe that's not my thing?
Because, oh my God, it's a challenge and I'd love it.
You would love challenges, you know, big challenges stadium, like that.
I'll start right now. I'll start on one.
So things like that excite you, big challenges.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I'm not being challenged, I'm not growing. Mm-hmm. Wrestling was a really big sport for me in high school. Mm-hmm. There was a guy named Jimmy on my team, and Jimmy went on to become an All-American, collegiate All-American wrestler, and he used to just beat me senseless every day. And it was only by getting constantly beat that I learned and improved. Mm-hmm. And so when I get these challenges, and I do love the challenges, the gigantic puzzle of all of it, it's exciting to me.
Yeah.
And I like rising to that.
There was one challenge we should probably bring up. It's that your father, who started the business, passed away unexpectedly in the late 90s. Mm. Can we talk a little bit about that, what that meant for the business? Because that's when your mom started taking a lead role in the business. And were you involved at that point?
It was the summer of 99. It was August of 1999 when Dad had his heart attack. I had had all four of my wisdom teeth pulled, and I was at home in between my freshman and sophomore year of college.
Okay, so you were still in college.
Yes. Right? You know, I remember it was the morning after having all my wisdom teeth pulled that the phone rang, and it was my sister calling to tell me that Dad had had a heart attack, and she was coming back from Chicago, and Mom was already at the hospital. It was incredibly difficult. You know, it hit all of us in different ways. Like anything like that, it didn't hit any of us positively. Mm-hmm. Cersei, my sister, and her then husband moved back to St. Louis, and he was an architect, started working at the firm. And then Mom realized she was running the firm and you know, had all sorts of emotional things there. And I ran away. You know, I went back to college. Mm-hmm. I didn't even come home again, I think, for 2 or 3 years. Mm. So we all reacted differently. And it was a huge emotional challenge. But then professionally, to this point, my mom had never even billed for her time. She still doesn't bill for her time, for that matter. But she just ran the business. She did the books and billing. And I don't think she was – I think she might have written contracts at that point. For her to step into the role of running the firm proper and being the president and CEO, it was probably daunting. But as she likes to say, right foot, left foot, you know, she got her way through it. Not only through it, but managed to survive a recession and come out the other side. And you know, now we're doing gangbusters. And it's great.
We continue with Tom Wall from Mitchell Wall Architectural Design, dealing with an unexpected loss in the family and, of course, in the business, how he handled it and how he found his way back to the company, which he now leads. We're going to continue our conversation with them and also Dan Bean from CMA. It's all up next on KMOX. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, joined by Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who sponsors the program. Also with Tom Wall from Mitchell Wall Architectural Design. Continuing our conversation with him. How many employees would have been there at the time?
Oh, I'm guessing, I think maybe 10 or 11.
Okay.
To that end, when Dad died, I mean, there were some employees who tried to put my mom on the spot. After he died and the dust had settled a little bit, but not much, you know, she had one of her employees come up and say, you know, I want to be made partner. Mm. Now that there's nobody here with a stamp, meaning licensed as an architect,
right?
You need somebody to do that. And if you want me to keep doing this, you make me partner.
Wow.
And I fired him.
Wow. It's the timing and it's hard to analyze a situation like that because it's very emotional. And
well, we all have plenty of shrinks who do that for us.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you just heard the story there. How does a small business cope with something, especially an unexpected loss and a passing of an owner?
That's one of the most difficult things for a small business to deal with, particularly a professional service, because as you heard Tom say, his mom is not an architect, not licensed, therefore can't seal the documents. And somebody has to do that. So she has to employ an architect to do that. So it's particularly challenging. And very few small professional businesses have the latitude to have a qualified person ready to step in. Mm-hmm. So it is usually scramble. Mm-hmm. It is look to another family member, look to a family friend, look to somebody that can be an interim while we search for someone to run the business, or we close the doors. And for Tom's mother to be able to not be an architect and to be able to lead an architectural firm and deal with some of the situations that was posed to her, it's an amazing feat. It's very difficult, and most businesses would not be able to make it to the other side of that.
Yeah, normally when you think of an owner, they have the expertise in that industry. In this case, she was someone that was good with business, but not necessarily with the architectural side.
Correct.
Yeah. Your mother took over the business in 1999. You were still going to college. At some point, did you think you would come back and work for your dad's company that he started, or was that something that wasn't even on your radar?
Truth be known, at that point, I wanted nothing to do with architecture.
Wow.
After he died, I kind of distanced myself from everything having to do with him. Like I said, I didn't really come home again, and I changed majors at that point to medieval literature.
Oh, wow.
So I had done enough architecture school at that point that I had what's called a concentration in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I graduated with a degree in medieval literature, which is really, really, really useless in trying to find any sort of employment. My mom said, well, great, now you can design castles. So that was, she was not optimistic about my professional future, I think, at that point.
Well, good for her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so didn't even stick around for graduation. Uh-huh. I went out to Los Angeles.
You immediately left, like you didn't even walk down the aisle?
No. I took my last exam and I hit the road.
What was in Los Angeles?
I don't know, the dream. It was sunny skies, pretty girls and beaches.
Mm-hmm.
I was going out there with the intent of trying to be an actor, actually. And I had some roles. I got on TV a few times and mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't paying the bills.
Yeah.
To pay the bills, I was, you know, doing any number of jobs. I think one time I counted, I was employed at 14 different jobs in mm-hmm. my 4 years in L.A.
Wow.
But what really, you know, what helped me, you know, string checks together was I found a modicum of success as a DJ.
So how did you get back into architecture?
Oh, there's a jump. I was actually sitting behind the turntables one night. It was like 3 a.m. I hadn't seen the sun in a couple of days because, you know, I'd sleep all day and then, mm-hmm. you know, DJ and party all night. And I just realized, you know, I was 27 years old and I needed to do something with my life. And at that point, I figured I've always had a passion for English and as well as architecture. And so my thoughts were I can either go back and get a degree in creative writing and become a professor and write the great American novel. I can go back to graduate school and get my master's in architecture and go that route. When push came to shove, I already had an architecture portfolio. So mm-hmm. I applied to architecture schools and wound up going to the University of Kansas and getting my master's there. After that, you know, that's where I met my wife and we moved back to St. Louis in 2011.
It's great.
Yeah.
Met your wife out there too.
I did.
Things have changed a lot in that field. I got to imagine back then, was it still heavily computer oriented then as it is today?
Are we talking about DJing or architecture?
Architecture when it comes to the CAD work. And see, I have a friend who's an architect, someone I grew up with, a very close friend of mine. He's, you know, it took a lot of schooling for him to get where he's at now and a lot of grinding and working. And it was a ton of work for him.
Yeah.
But everything's computer oriented now. It's amazing the things they work on. So let's kind of talk about when you were going to school. Was it very computer oriented?
When I started undergrad, 98, 99, my first year. There was not a computer studio. Everything was, you were taught to hand draft at that point still.
So cardboard and X-Acto knives.
Well, yeah. And frankly, I mean, I still prefer those things. To get into the computer studio where you would learn CAD and Form-Z was the program at the time for 3D modeling, you actually had to apply to that specific studio and they took 15 students a year. By the time I went back to grad school, I mean, totally different ballgame. Everybody had laptops on their desk.
Yeah.
I rely heavily on the computer. Mm. We do photorealistic renders. We do virtual reality walkthroughs.
Mm.
We're the only residential firm in town who's offering the level of technology that we have. But in the same breath, I start every project the same way, which is with a pencil and paper.
Mm-hmm. How does that help? Do the clients come in? Are they blown away when they're able to see what you can do with these computer renderings?
Some are very impressed. I mean, depending on what field they're in and how old they are. People who have grown up playing, you know, video games are less impressed than you know, people who played with a hoop and stick. The biggest and most important benefit of the computer-aided design is that no longer do you have to struggle to try to explain to a client what a space looks like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you would design something, you would try to verbalize that when the final construct was built. They might say, well, I didn't realize this was going to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when there's a question, I can do a photorealistic render. I can show them, this is what your kitchen's going to look like. This is what it's going to look like with this countertop type or mm-hmm. with this countertop type.
We continue our conversation for one last time with Mitchell Wall Architectural Design. Coming up next on the Business of Family Business on KMOX, we highlight family business stories. And as you heard Dan Bean from CMA Consulting talk about some of the troubles and some of the roadblocks that a lot of family businesses encounter, you know, if you're a family business, it's like a lot of other businesses, but some ways it's not. It's pretty obvious. Why? Because you're family and it means so much to you. You take it home with you. You eat at the dinner table with your family members. I want you to imagine what it's like when a family business owner is ready to make the decision to transition to the next generation. It's a big decision. CMA Consulting is leading a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them into effective owners. And then they align the current generation to the next generation. Unify, develop, align. Three words you need to become familiar with. They look at this on a lot of different levels. People and talent experts to tax and accounting and legal, banking and risk management experts. It's easy to hand the keys over to the next business, but CMA is different. They excel in helping increase the odds that the next generation will be successful with family harmony in mind. Contact CMA Consulting for a complimentary, no obligation meeting to discuss your family business at an upcoming generational transition or even the benefits of the Business of Family Business Ownership Program, which starts in the first quarter of 2018. Go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for you and if it's right for your family business. It's the website that all family businesses should know, cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA. We look at family businesses from across the St. Louis region, and we continue our conversation with Tom Wall, part of Mitchell Wall Architectural Design. Since your mom didn't really have an architectural background, did she have a lot of input on the transition? Look,
As far as the transition itself, it was more or less orchestrated by, you know, the attorneys and the bankers. And,
yeah.
Kind of that, they put that together, and my mom and I sat down with them and kind of went through step by step what it all would mean, how it would all work out, and you know, from the paperwork element of it, that was all kind of established by the people you pay for such paperwork.
Yeah.
As far as the professional aspect of that, guiding me into the business, things of that nature, I'd like to say that I handled it very maturely, but I didn't. And we, you know, there's always some pushback. When I first came to the firm, you know, I was hard-headed and confident and sure that I was going to run this thing right. And I had my own ideas of how it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And my mom had 40 years of experience and wanted to tell me how it was supposed to happen. And so there was some give and take for a few years there.
Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, you provide this sort of generational leadership training and you try to help identify people in the right roles. That's probably very common when it comes to a generation and the next generation is ready to come up. There's still some sort of, this is the way we've done things, so I kind of want you to do it the same way type of feel a lot of times.
The current generation has been successful to get the business to this point. Mm-hmm. They would like for the next generation to do it the same way, because they know their way works. It got it here. Mm-hmm. The next generation grew up under that and has all kinds of ideas about how to improve and do it differently. Mm-hmm. And some of them may actually be good. But if they will do it the way mom and dad did it first, they know a way that works. Mm-hmm. And then they can start to experiment with their own way and start to, over time, change the way they do it.
Yeah.
We have a saying that says, mom and dad have half as much to pass on as they think they do, and the next generation has twice as much to learn from the prior generation as they think the prior generation has to offer.
By the way, Tom, can I ask how old you are?
No. I'm 38.
You're 38, so it seems pretty young role to be. Not that a business owner can't be 38, but it seems like you're pretty young. I got to imagine your peers are probably someone that are older than you when it comes to the same industry.
In architecture, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Most of the other architects in town who own their own firm are up there, or they're just starting and you know, have a kitchen industry. Mm. So I guess it is kind of unique that I and fortunate that I was able to take over this business, this established firm. I remember before I even came back to St. Louis when I was still in grad school, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she, I was telling her how I was terrified and mystified by how my father built a business. I remember saying to her, I could never do that. I could never build this business. I have no idea how to build this, but how do you build this business? She said, Tom, it's not your job to build the business. It's your job to take it on to the next level. It's already been built. And that to me was really profound and eye-opening at the time. Mm-hmm. And definitely, you know, assuaged some of my anxieties.
Yeah. You have two children?
I do, yeah.
Do they play with cardboard and X-Acto knives?
Well, they're 5 and 2, so the X-Acto knives would be irresponsible of me. but, you know, I came home last night, and I wish I could show the listeners the photograph I took, because I came home, and there's my 5-year-old Henry sitting in a cardboard box watching TV. I mean, I don't know why we spend the money we do on toys for kids. All he needs is a stick, a rope, and a cardboard box. But as far as the architectural element of things, both my boys have shown an aptitude for spatial development, as it were. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want to get too into it and try to read too much into it, but, you know, aside from the blocks and things like that, there's these things now called magnet tiles, which mm-hmm. are basically just like they sound, they're magnetic tiles. You can stack them up and make all sorts of different edifices with them. I've had my boys' teachers comment about how different my son's buildings tend to be compared to the other kids. So that's always pretty cool to hear about.
Do you look at them and you say, maybe one day they'll be taking over the company?
You know, I'm trying to prescribe to my father's theory on this, and that I'm not going to force them to. And I feel like if I were to sit there and think about that, then that might color my interactions with them.
Yeah.
Would I love for my boys to make a third generation of the business? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Would I try to steer them in that direction? Not a bit.
I'd just like to comment on how Tom talks about his two children.
Yeah.
A very healthy way. Don't push them. Let them know there's an opportunity, but don't try to guilt them or pull them into the business or push them into the business. The next generation will give you lots of clues over 20 years about whether they fit into the business or not.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, the dynamics you just heard about, how does that compare to other family businesses?
They're pretty typical, because what Tom talks about with his mother is the interaction between them is a microcosm of family dynamics. It's mm-hmm. like his childhood, the dinner table. They're not business dynamics, they're family dynamics, and they seem out of place in the business world. Mm-hmm. That's what he just commented on, because they are. They're family dynamics taking place in the business arena or the business venue. So ideally, those family dynamics would take place outside the business where they're not visible to the rest of the employees. But anytime a family sorts issues, family issues in the business, it's kind of the improper venue to do that. Mm-hmm. Better to do that outside the business. But every family business violates that principle.
Every.
I think my mom thinks nobody has realized this in the office, but if she needs something from me professionally, she comes back and she just talks to mm-hmm. us, because we have an open office in the back. My mom has the only one with an office, and she's up front. But if she needs to talk to me about something professionally, she just comes back and talks about it. Mm-hmm. But if she wants to talk to me about something personally, she comes back and says, Tommy, may I talk to you for a second? And then pulls me away. And I think she thinks she's fooling everybody, but that we're not talking about family things at the office. But, you know, we are. And you'll never escape it.
How can people find your website, see some of your designs, things like that?
Oh, well, if they want to visit my website, they can go to www.mitchellwall.com. No hyphens or anything, just the two names. And we're also on Instagram, Twitter. I have a wonderful Twitter handle, but very few followers. So go ahead and follow me there, at STL Architect.
Okay. It's a great handle. It really
is. I know. I got it early and then never used it.
I'm going to follow you right now.
I appreciate that.
That's good.
Yeah, I have lots of wisdom to impart.
A big thank you again to Tom Wall, part of Mitchell Wall Architectural Design, and of course, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. If you would like to be profiled as a family business on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. And of course, you can listen back to these episodes by going to kmox.com. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Enjoy the rest of your week.